ఉపాగ్యమనో గంధవై మృదంగాపనవానకా వాదయద్భ్యముదావీనం
Being glorified by song.
Gandhava
by Gandhavas.
Mridanga Panava Anakan. Mridanga Panava and Anaka drums. Vadayadbi. Who were playing? Muda, joyfully. Vinam, Vinas. Sutta Magadha Vandibi. By Sutta, Magadha, and Vandi reciters. Sityamana, being squirted with water. Achutta, Lord Krishna.
Tabir,
by them, his wives. Hashantibi, who were loving. Sma, indeed. Rechakai, with syringes. Pratisinchan, squirting back at them. Vichikride, he spotted. Yakshibi, with Yakshi nymphs. Yaksharat, the Lord of the Yakshas,
Kubera,
Eva,
like.
Translation. As Gandhava joyfully sang his praises to the accompaniment of mridanga, panara, and anaka drums, and as professional reciters known as sutras, magadhas, and vandis played veenas and recited poems, praising him, Lord Krishna would play with his wives in the water. Laughing, the queens would squirt water on him with syringes, and he would squirt them back. Thus, Krishna would sport with his queens in the same way that the Lord of the Yakshas sports with the Yakshi nymphs. Om Magyana Timlandasya Agnanjana Aslaka Shakshamulitam Yenatasmai Sigurave Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasapadaya Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitamane Namaste Sarasati Devi Gauravani Pacharine Nivese Sasanyavadi Pasachadya Shatana.
Can you be
What?
Your.
Can you do that? I've never done that. When I was reading just the first few verses of this chapter, it kind of struck me how opulent everything was. There was so much opulence there in the capital city, Krishna's capital city in Dwarka. And also the inhabitants, they also partake in this openness. That's why it's stated that there are five kinds of liberation. And one of the kind of liberation is to have the same opulences as Krishna or Vishnu. Living on the same planet, the same features. And Prabhupada often said, the servants of the kings, they live in the same opulence as a king. When Prabhupada was served with a big plate of Mahaprasad, he said, how much can I eat? I can just eat a little bit, and then the rest just goes to Maha. Now, all the servants of the spiritual master, they know that. They're cooking so much prasadam, and they bring it to the gurus. The gurus just eat so much, and then everyone is climbing over one another for the Maha. And sometimes the servants get more. More on their plate. So then somehow along the way, I just wondering, I hope it's not too controversial this class today. Along the way, there's just so much stress on renunciation austerities. And if you think about the word renunciation, means to renounce something. And if actually we really think about it, what is there that belongs to us to renounce? We came to this world with nothing. It's only along the way we collect so many things which we claim to be ours. That's how we fall into this illusion of ahamamiti, I am mine. Identifying the body as a self and anything connected with it. And then when we give it up, we thought this is renunciation. So actually the actual sense of renunciation is to give up the idea that I'm the controller and the enjoyer. I control of everything that I survey. Why do I want to control it? Because I want to enjoy it, separate from Krishna. That's selfishness. When we are not in the spirit of identifying ourselves in relationship with Krishna, anything that we do is based on selfishness. But on the other hand, when whatever we do, when we relate it to Krishna, that's our natural constitutional position. So having said that, that means actually there can be unlimited opulences. Why not? Krishna, we see here Krishna used to be worshipped by so much opulence. Krishna is supreme opulence. That's why he's known as Bhagavan. He who possesses unlimited opulences. So I think we have to just put things a bit more into perspective. If you look at the Vanashram system, the biggest ashram is the Grihastha ashram. You have the Brahmacharis, then you have the Vanaprastha, and you have the Sannyas. The biggest ashram is Grihastha ashram. And this is one ashram that supports all the other ashrams. Now, if this ashram do not properly understand things in proper perspective regarding creation of wealth, how are the other three ashrams going to be maintained? If the grihasthas are poverty stricken, what is there left to support the other three ashrams? If the grihasthas are living like brahmacharis and sannyasis and vanaprasthas, there won't be enough to share. Right? Yep. Then it becomes the other way. So sometimes I've heard devotees say, "Oh, you know, I got this promotion. I got this. I was offered this promotion. All this there, but I don't need it. I have enough." Now think about it. I have enough. Where does Krishna come into the picture? Because it's all about me. I. My needs. What I need and what I don't need. And sometimes also the Christians, they always say, money is the root of all evil. You ever heard that? But you know what is the actual statement? The love of money is the root of all evil. It's not just the money is the root of evil. The love of money, the attachment to it, that's what is the root of all evil. Money in itself is nothing good or bad. It's no matter how you use it. So, if we understand properly in relationship to Krishna and come out of ourselves a bit, yes, our needs may be, we don't need much. But if you have the opportunity, why not create opulence and share it around? You know the situation with the bumblebees. There was one scientist. Can't remember his name. He once made a statement called the law of precision. It's a 90-degree thing. And he gave the example of like a bumblebee. What is the main function of a bumblebee? What? Huh?
Collect honey.
Collect thing and create. That is actually the secondary function. The main contribution of the bumblebee is pollination. As he's collecting, as the bumblebee is collecting from flower to flower, he's dropping and pollinating a 90 degrees area around his flight. He's spreading. And that's how all these other plants become nourished. So for a devotee, one who is in transcendental consciousness, as he is creating his wealth, he's spreading it around for the benefit of others. And that's what actually it means. We do not need much, but we can contribute to the spreading of Krishna consciousness. So much. We always hear how temples are struggling. All the temples are struggling. Why are we struggling? Krishna is the wealthiest of all. And we are serving him. And Prabhupada often said, there's no, he said if a rich man wants to spread his glories, how much is willing to put up to advertise himself? And he said, Krishna is not a poor man. He wants his glory to spread all over the world. And he's willing to give. He's willing to give so much. But because our mind is so small, we're not able to receive it. We have to open up to receive this blessing that Krishna has given. Again, distribute. And Prabhupada also said there are four ways one surrender Krishna. One is wealth. If you have wealth, offer your wealth for the inner service of Krishna. And often we come across people who don't have wealth because they think money is the root of all evil. That's why all our devotees are no wealth. Then you offer your abilities. If you have some skills, we have some skills. Whatever skills we have, we offer. And always surrender our life. That's it. The topmost is surrendering their life. Just giving a life to Krishna. But how many can do that? That was the only position available in the old days. Either you're in or you're out. You come to temple, you join, when you're not ready to join, sorry, next. That was the only option available in those days. But it's an option, is to surrender your life to Krishna. Or if one cannot surrender his life, fine. If one wants to maintain an occupation, all this, offer your wealth. Offer your wealth. And actually, the other day I was just hearing someone was saying, talking about in Christianity they have this word tithing, giving 10% to charity or to the church. And how, in fact, this one of the richest men in the world, at least during his time, Rockefeller. Everyone heard of Rockefeller. When he started his business, in his first year of operation, he earned something like $76, which is hardly enough to maintain his family. But yet, he made it a point to give 10% of his income, and he has never stopped doing that. And he said, of all the principles of wealth creation, this is the most important one that I practice. Just giving 10%. But very often we think, oh, I can't afford to give 10%. But if we look at our budget, we waste more than 10% of our income. We waste more than 10% of what we earn. So that's giving of wealth. That's renunciation. Something we collect, that's something we hold dear, but we offer it for Krishna's service. We offer our skill. And if we really absolutely have nothing, then we offer our tongue. To share glories of Krishna with everyone we meet. Yarani Katarika, Krishna Upadesha. So whomever you meet, just tell them about Krishna. So this is principles, some principles of how we can offer ourselves to Krishna, of our service. So actually we develop that kind of consciousness, you start seeing ISKCON developing in a different way. It will be more dynamic, rather than always struggling of living in the mentality of scarcity. It's not enough to spread around, it's not enough, always not enough. Why not enough? The karmis are making tons and tons. Why can't devotees, if you want to do it for spreading Krishna's glories, why shouldn't there be abundance? There's great abundance everywhere. So it's just a matter of consciousness. And one of the nature of the spirit soul is that he's Anandamaya Vyasan. He's pleasure seeking. Then again, sometimes think, oh, pleasure, this is bad. This Maya. That's how we think as neophyte. We think everything is Maya. And if we open our mouth and the words Krishna does not come out of the mouth, then it's Maya. Every word that comes out has to be Krishna or something. So actually there's more to that. The point is how we can relate and dovetail. Prabhupada used the word dovetail. Dovetailing everything in Krishna's consciousness. And this word is very not very familiar in the English language. Dovetail, what is that? Nobody really uses it in that way. But Prabhupada uses it so perfectly, the word dovetailing. So we should just dovetail our life in such a way that we are always remembering Krishna. But you have nothing. What is there to dovetail? There's nothing to dovetail. So we can create so much friendship, relationship with other devotees, but dovetail in Krishna consciousness. Create wealth, dovetail in Krishna consciousness. Excel in your workplace, in your profession, but somehow dovetail in Krishna consciousness. Somehow you just have to learn the secret of how to dovetail everything in Krishna consciousness. That's the art. That's the real art of Krishna consciousness. It's not so much about renunciation. In fact, Rupa Goswami said this, that renouncing things without properly understanding its relationship to Krishna, this is immature renunciation. On the other hand, real renunciation means to see how everything is related and connected to Krishna. That's real renunciation. Srila Prabhupada, very good example. He was completely satisfied living in Vrindavan. I mean, what more does anyone want at that age? 60 plus, almost touching 70. Living for the Vaishnava, to live in Vrindavan, he has a nice room in Damodar temple. Anyone been there, Radha Damodar temple? You been? Yeah. Wonderful place. I love that place. But now I don't know if I dare to go back. It's the whole place is infested with monkeys and they're so aggressive. When we went there the last time trying to do a parikrama, the monkey just jumped on my wife and snatched her glasses. And then bite on it. We just did one parikrama and left. Normally I used three, but we just left. Quick darshan. But before I used to go there and I loved to just stay in Prabhupada's room, chant some rounds and meditate, try to meditate on the mood Sri Prabhupada had when he was staying there. How he was always meditating on how to fulfill the order of his spiritual master, he's translating the Srimad Bhagavatam and preparing himself to go to the West to preach. So I always come there and try to develop that mood and prepare myself to go back to the West and preach. It was very, very powerful. So anyway, Prabhupada staying there, very peaceful, it's really such a nice place. But he was not just thinking of himself. He had all that he needs. Everything that he needs is there. But he wanted to share. And as he traveled and preached, he created so much opulences everywhere. So many temples. And the Prabhupada would say, I have all these temples here, palaces there. And I just go there, I just stay 1 day, 2 days, 3 days, and I leave. And next. Not attached to it. So he was not averse. He was not averse to creating all these facilities for the benefit of spreading Krishna consciousness, for the benefit of others. This is actually the mood we should adopt. The mood of, if we have the possibility to develop a skill, we develop the skill and see how I can use this skill in Krishna service. Look at all the temples in India, especially in South India. Opulent temple. How did they come about? Because all these skilled workers, all these artists, they offer their service for building this temple for the glorification of the Supreme. They offer their service. And they are very, very skilled workers. Beautiful temples, carvings and everything. So we have if they have the opportunity to develop our skills, develop it. Push ourselves to the limit where we can go. How much more I can develop and see how I can use it in Krishna's service. If they have the opportunity to create wealth or make more money, go for it. But give it. This is the austerity. That is actually one of the main austerity of the Grihastha Ashram. We often read throughout the Srimad Bhagavatam how Grihastha Ashram, they have the facility for enjoyment and for opulences and so on and so forth. But a proper Grihastha, he loves to give. He loves to create wealth and he loves to give away wealth. You see some of the richest people in the world. They want to be known as philanthropists. Warren Buffett, at one time one of the richest men in the world, he practically gave away everything. He gave away multi-billions dollars. Same thing with Bill Gates. He created the Gates Foundation and gave away most of his wealth. And they love it. And then they go and create more. And then they go and give it away. If someone without this proper Krishna conscious understanding, they can do that, why can't devotees? Why can't devotees? The mood of giving. Actually, I read a book recently and said this, it really struck me how the difference between someone who has that kind of an enlightened consciousness. You say actually the primary reason to gain more is so that you have more to give away. Isn't that beautiful? And that is written by a non-devotee, mind you. It's a Christian. But at least they have that understanding. And when I read that, I thought, wow, this is brilliant. Because most of the time we relate creating wealth to be a selfish thing. Right? No, I don't want. But if we change the consciousness, I want to gain so I have more to give. I can have more crossway everywhere. And straight prasad distribution. I've got centers everywhere. I can build nice facilities for Krishna consciousness. And for example, there's this one devotee in Vrindavan, Food for Life Vrindavan, doing wonderful work. Started with Food for Life and then he started starting a school and all these poorest of the poor kids he bring in he's giving them education, not just a normal education but a Krishna conscious education. That's the highest form of charity is education. So all this just giving, it's not just saving these poor kids, like most welfare organizations do, just feed them and that's it, but it's actually giving them a proper education and also Krishna consciousness. So they get a proper education, but at the same time they also, both material and spiritual education they're getting, and they're getting a proper meal. The only devotees can give that extra dimension in their charity work. Because the devotee understanding, they have this understanding. He's doing welfare work, but he adds a spiritual, creates spiritual nature to it. So this is actually some of the thoughts I have on this. And we can see how Krishna and his devotees are always having a good, enjoying. So much fun. And this is Krishna consciousness. Susukam katum abhyayam. It's joyfully performed. Raja vijaya raja guyam. It's the king of all knowledge and the secret of all secrets. There's a famous book out there called The Secrets. But this is real secret. Bhagavad Gita, the secret of all secrets. It is so obvious, but people don't see. Somehow they don't see. That's, even devotees miss out. They not see it. You understand I'm a spirit soul. I'm eternally related to Krishna. And Krishna is my worshipable Lord. And if I really love Krishna, I want to offer the best to him. Like a parent. Why is a parent working so hard for the children? Very often, some of the motivation of people working hard and trying to have more money in the household, it's very often it's not so much just for themselves. It's because for the children. It's for the love of the children. They want to provide for the children. They want to provide the best for the children. They worry about putting money aside for their education. Of course, in Australia, you don't have to worry so much about that. You have a hex. And normally, the children grow up, they go, okay, you take care of your own education, and they have to go and work. You get so many of these students coming in, they have to work and pay for the fees and everything. But still, in some parts of the world, parents feel the responsibility to give the children a proper education. Many of these Indians, they come here. The parents have to mortgage the house and or they take a bank loan or whatever so they can come and have an education. So out of love for the children, they are doing all these things. For themselves, they may not endeavor too hard. So similarly for a devotee, for themselves, they may not have to endeavor so hard. But for love of Krishna, they will endeavor. For themselves, they may not need so much to live on. How much can they live on? But for Krishna, yes, the more the better. The more the better. So that this is a small shift in our consciousness from thinking me and I, aham ameti, to what can I do more for Krishna? What is within my capacity that I can do more for Krishna? According to the four principles. Surrendering my life, offering of wealth, offering my skills, and just using my tongue and words to spread the glories. What more within these four things that I can do more for Krishna? And then we see the genius within us manifesting. Otherwise, we're still in that selfish consciousness, selfish mentality. We may be proud, my sadhana, I'm chanting, I'm this, I'm pakka, this and that. But if we're still maintaining that selfish mentality of just me, what is good for me, only me, then we have not crossed that threshold of thinking that I'm a servant of Krishna. That is manifestation of love. What is best for the beloved? What more can I do for the beloved? What more can I do within my capacity? An offering. And we can start with whatever we have, offering a percentage. Start somewhere. offering our skill. We have, it's not that, okay, like Prabhupada said, you don't have, you cannot give your life, you give your wealth. You don't have wealth, you give your skill. You don't have any of this. But if you have all this, you can give all this. It's not that it's the only one. You know? You have all three or four, whatever, we give all three or four according to our capacity. And then you see our Krishna consciousness develop in a different level. We'll come out of our shell and start seeing the whole world in front of us. A lot more needs to be done. So much more needs to be done. In terms of the vision of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, or desire of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, or vision of Lord Nityananda, how this holy name will be spread to every town and village. A lot of work has been done, but still a lot more needs to be done. A lot more. And to do that requires so much resources. And any temple president will tell you one of the main challenges is, in terms of resources, is manpower and money. There are two main resources, always a challenge. So by you, the devotee, have a slight shift in their consciousness, there will be no problem with these two things. There will be plenty of it. Plenty. Thank you very much. Are there any questions or comments? Sri Prabhupada ki jai.